Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway at 9:18, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. I left my coffee just out of my reach in my red solo cup, but oh, look at my guest coming to my aid. Yes, I must have, it's like my security blanket, my red solo cup filled with Harvest Ridge this morning. Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Make sure you power your day with it, whether you get it at the grocery store, whether you have it delivered to your office, or whether you go out and about and buy it at your best convenience store. We love that you drink Harvest Ridge and support the Mary Griffith Show. Today we have a trio of guests, although Libby says she's just here for moral support. We'll see about that. Erica Maynard is here from the Quincy Public Schools. She's the Director of Elementary Education. And Sandra Height is the Executive Director of the Quincy Arts Center. And today we're going to be concentrating on a joint program that the Arts Center is doing with the Quincy Public Schools. But first, let's meet our players. Erica Maynard, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional development, and anything else you'd like to share, please.
Well, born and raised in Quincy, graduated from Quincy Public Schools in 95, went to Quincy University, and then started teaching in 1999 at Quincy Public Schools, and so this is my 26th year. So
you barely look 26 yourself! 26 years, you should be a haggard old nag by now with these kids weighing you down.
Yes, so I love years. Quincy Public Schools.
Well, we're glad that you love Quincy Public Schools. Mm-hmm. We need to get more people to teach and love the Quincy Public Schools. Now, you're the Director of Elementary Education. Is that more an administrative post for you now? Are you in the classroom at all?
I am at Central Office and helping to support teachers at PK through 5. However, I do teach every single day for 30 minutes. Currently, I'm at IELTS, so I'm reading recovery trained, so I do 30 minutes of a reading instruction lesson one-on-one with a student every day.
You know what? I want to give a standing ovation because I think one of the things that happens when we work on our career ladder, the only way, because this happened to me in my job with Girl Scouting, the only way to get up the career ladder is to get an administrative post. And then what you were really good about that you really liked, you don't get to do anymore. I think it's wonderful that you teach 30 minutes every day because now when teachers come to you that you supervise and say, oh, today was, you're like, oh, it couldn't have been that bad. You're like, yeah, I know how bad it can be.
Yep.
Or I know
how
good it can be. Or I know how rewarding it can be. Or here's some ideas that I'm using. I think that is just fabulous. So thank you for taking the administrator hat off and putting that teaching hat back on. 30 minutes. I bet it really rejuvenates your day.
Absolutely. It keeps me in practice, working around, working with kids every single day around literacy, which is always a hot topic right now. And I just love working with students. So I get to work with the student one-on-one and build a relationship with them, and it's the highlight of my day.
I think 30 minutes a day is about what I could do. Are there any job openings for just a 30-minute job? Because I mentor in the schools.
I was going to say, we have a mentor
Wednesdays.
Program.
I've been part of it. And I tell you what, when that school bell rings on Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, oh, thank you, good Lord. Talk about prayer in school. Yeah, there's prayer. Can I make it, Lord? Can I just make it till the school bell rings? Sandra Height is here from the Arts Center. Sandra, let's just reintroduce you to the folks because your smiling face has been part of the Mary Griffith Show now for a few months. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you for having us again. Today is particularly dear to my heart because I'm also an educator. A few more years than Erica, maybe more like 40. So I've been in education my whole life before I joined the Art Center.
And you're still in education
in a way, aren't you? I am still in it, absolutely.
You know, teaching is an interesting profession because, in a sense, every single one of us is a teacher at some time in our life, because if I'm working on the factory floor and somebody has to learn a new machine, I've got to teach them. So the ability to take your knowledge in your head and pass it on, or a love that you have for art or for reading and to pass it on, is so critically important. The Quincy Arts Center and the Quincy Public Schools have reunited after hiatus to enhance visual arts education in the Quincy school classrooms. Artist in Residence program, integrating the visual arts with literacy topics such as poetry, folklore, and historical biographies, making a connection between art and literacy development. And this is probably where, Erica Maynard, you're going to have to give us some of your highfalutin highfalutin college level talk. But there is. Scientific studies have shown that there is a dear connection between artistic creativity mm-hmm. and reading mm-hmm. ability. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes literacy comes first and then creativity. Sometimes kids really have trouble reading, but they might get the spark mm-hmm. through art. So talk a little bit about why this was brought up and why this is so important. It was there in the schools for a while, and now it's been brought back.
Absolutely. And actually, the Art Center reached out to us for a partnership, and we started talking about how we're very fortunate to have 4th and 5th grade art weekly with our students through a Quincy Public School art teacher. But our K-3 students, they have art based on the experience and knowledge of the classroom teacher. So it's not like a designated time where they are able to have art instruction. And so the Art Center approached us and talked to us about this possibility of kind of like piloting a new program with our third grade teachers and students to be able to have specific art instruction from art teachers in our schools, and combining it with not only just art as in teaching it in isolation, but we have a new literacy curriculum this year that we're using, and so we have a curriculum map and a pacing guide, so we shared that with them and showed them what they would be learning during that time in literacy, and so they built their art instruction around our curriculum that they will be using in the classroom in third grade.
Again, standing ovation, because Sandra, you were like, well, you didn't say, here's what I'd like to tell people about art. You looked, because you're a teacher, you looked at what the curriculum was. What is the Quincy Public School third grade teacher trying to accomplish? How can we mm-hmm. promote that? Mm-hmm. And I think what you said is interesting, Erica Maynard. You have art programs, but in the K-3, it's up to the classroom teacher to be the art teacher as well. Mm-hmm. And some people may be comfortable with that. Some
right.
people may be uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So having somebody come in like an artist in residence that, first of all, can just give the teacher a chance to sit back and observe, because she can see, he or she can see, which student is getting it, which student is making that connection. Mm-hmm. Because they're not so busy putting out the information, they're absorbing the information. Mm-hmm. And I know in the classroom that I volunteer in, every once in a while, an administrator or someone comes in just to watch. And at mm-hmm. first I thought they were watching the teacher, but they're watching the students, because mm-hmm. they already have their little list of who may not be getting it all the way. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that are causing them not to get it?
Mm-hmm.
And can we kind of see where mm-hmm. the spark is and where the I don't get it mm-hmm. kind of moments are? So that's really critical. Mm-hmm. That third grade teacher now gets a chance to sit back
yes.
and have somebody else teach the class, and she can observe.
Yes, they will partner together. And so they will be a part, the third grade teacher will be a part of this opportunity when the teachers or the artists and residents come in and prepare and instruct around art. I think it'll be really exciting to see how kids respond to it, because often when we kind of get stuck in certain curricular practices, maybe we don't venture out to see some of the strengths that kids might have in different areas, such as the arts. And so I think this will allow us an opportunity to get to know our kids better and see where some of their strengths might be and how they might be able to show us what they've learned, not necessarily always in like a written form or even a verbal form, but maybe through the arts.
Yeah, exactly. A picture paints a thousand words, mm-hmm. right? Well, Sandra, when we say the arts, let's talk about it. I mean, what are you doing? Are you teaching them to draw? Are you teaching them to paint? Are they sculpting? What is the artist in residence doing? And I imagine it may be different in different third grade classrooms.
Absolutely. So we have, I would call it a menu of options that we've created around the curriculum. This week, our director of education, who is a trained teacher, is going in and meeting each of the teams, each of the third grade teams, and talking with them. And from there, they'll begin to shape the lessons that they want. So they may choose sculpture, they may choose watercolor, they may choose another medium, and we will then shape those lessons around what that team most wants to do. And in the end, over several lessons with the classes, they will have something that they can, an installation, they will have an art piece that the children can then look at for, you know, maybe years to come.
Really?
To
it's
say,
be
I
like
created
a permanent
that.
Collection?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So the schools will have, not just on the bulletin board out in the hallway, but they'll have our
mm-hmm.
art.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something three-dimensional. It could be something, we don't know what it will be.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm. And part of the beauty of art is you don't know what it will
right.
be. How, it's so interesting because when you're trying to teach kids, cat, dog, here's a dangling participle. What are we teaching now? I'm in second grade. I'm too dumb for third grade. But, you know, you've got to, you know, like suffixes and how to make plurals and, you know, all the stuff that they're learning. There's like a right answer and a wrong answer. And there's sometimes a little rule I before E except after C. Art doesn't have any rules. Or
no.
If it does have rules, you teach them the rules and then you say, these are the rules. But you could break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really two different sides of their brain. Is it two different sides of their brain that are working, Erica? Is that why it works so well?
Well, I mean, I think there's different people think differently about that. Some people think there's a left brain and a right brain and how you access it. But I just think...
Oh, you don't think that.
I'm not sure what I think about it, but I just think that you should always get to know a student and then build on their strengths.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's get down to, you know, brass tacks. I mean, what do you think this is going to look like? This is just the first year, right? So you haven't done one yet, have you?
No, we have not. This is the first year. So we've planned three 1-hour sessions so far, and we've put them in somewhat similar proximity. So over about 6 weeks, these lessons will occur. The first one is really getting to know the children, and as Erica said, you know, beginning to learn their strengths and, you know, their passions and things that they're enthusiastic about. So it's an interactive lesson, and there'll be some practice, some learning, some skills for the project that's been chosen, that the teacher team has chosen. The second one is they start planning as a classroom, as a body of students, and starting to collaborate on what it is they're going to create, and they begin that and initiate that. And then the third lesson, they go in, can complete that project. They may have one per classroom, or the four third grade classrooms may come together and create that installation between what the four classes have created, and we're going to leave that up to them. But definitely that will end with some celebration with the children knowing they are artists. They're already artists, just like they're already readers.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't quite tapped into it for some of the children. And I think some will excel. Many students may have already come to the art center, so they already know that they are artists and they're passionate about it. So we're hoping that this will be something that we can scale down to second grade, first grade, you know, kindergarten over the years.
Plans to ramp it up and bring it to all. First, second, and third graders. My guest today, Erica Maynard, the Director of Elementary Education at Quincy Public Schools, Sandra Height, the Director of the Art Center of Quincy, Libby Campbell is here for emotional support, and so far, Libby, we're all calm, and you're doing a great job. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about this collaboration to support literacy, which is reading, and art, which is not reading. Although poetry, I guess, is art, so it could be. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Want to put in a real quick plug for mentoring. If you would like to be a mentor in the Quincy Public Schools, they need you. And whether you are adept at first grade or junior in high school or whatever, if you're a science nerd and you want to pass that along, if you love to read and you want to teach kids to read, whatever. I loved my time at the public school as a reading mentor, and it was really great. And I've shared this story before at the Arts Center. Ran into a young lady. She was in college, and she had been my little girl from first grade all the way through high school. And I was talking to her and having a good conversation with her, and her friends were kind of impatient, like, why is she talking to this old lady and everything? So I let her go, and I went around the corner. So she didn't know that I went around the corner and just stopped right there and was looking at a piece of artwork. And these girls like, who are that? Who is that? And she said, oh, that's Miss Griffith. She taught me to read. You know, so you just never know what a difference in a life you can make if you mentor. So if you would like to mentor, please call the Quincy Public Schools. Whatever your skill level is, whatever subject you like, they would love to have you help children in the classroom. When we left, we were talking about this collaborative effort. Well, you know, when you've got a group of kids, you've always got some natural leaders, some real reticent and shy ones. How is that managed in the classroom? I'll just throw it out to both of you, since you both have education backgrounds, Sandra Hyde and Erica Maynard. How is that managed in the classroom? Because if you're doing a collaborative project, it's not like we're all going to draw a flower and everybody's flower will be different and blah, blah, blah. What if you have to build something together, or you're making something, or my piece of the art of the picture has to fit with your piece of the picture? How do you get everybody involved?
Well, I think that's part of the planning and part of the importance of us going to the schools and working with the teachers, because they know their children. By January, which is when we begin the program, teachers tend to really know their children on an individual level. Having them in the classroom to support the learning is absolutely key, and coming alongside children. I know from our experiences at the Art Center, where we have 18-month to 3-year-old program, we've got a pre-K program, and we're also at the Early Childhood Family Center, and we have clubs after schools. There are many times that children really come to life once they have materials in their hands, and they may not say a lot, they may not appear to be leaders, but they can express themselves in ways that perhaps they haven't had the opportunity to before. And time and again, we tell stories, you know, back in the Art Center about little ones that we've watched, and sometimes it's just a particular experience that they have, and then we know to repeat that. If someone's very hands-on or a kinesthetic learner, we know that in the next lesson that we're going to give them that opportunity to use similar materials, because they have a connection to it, or they find it an easier way to communicate their emotions or their messages that they're wanting to tell through their art pieces. So I think that's one of the key ways to do it, is through observing and really knowing your children. And that's part of the reason we wanted to wait until winter time to do this, to give teachers time to do that. The other thing that it's proven through research is that when we combine different subjects together, for example, literacy and art, we know that children often retain that information for a longer period of time, and they can apply it in a novel situation. So when Rachel, our director of education, and I went to meet with Erica and sort of have preliminary conversations about this program, I said, we're not going to be an after-school program. Because I didn't want to be an add-on. I really wanted, you know, to work with Erica's team of professionals, and we really wanted to build something that would be during the school day, not take time away from the critical curriculum that the teachers are responsible for, but really add to it and give it something that the children could make connections both to art as well as to the literacy program. So that was the real motivation behind this artisan residency program.
And the fact that it's an hour, you know, children's attention spans are short, but they're going to have a lot. They're going to have things they're holding to. They're going to be listening with their ears. They're going to be visually seeing what other people are doing. They're going to have a chance to get almost all their, you know, even their sense of smell if they're using paints or clay or anything like that. So that hour will go very quickly, but you need that hour. Because just when you get started on something, classroom teachers always say, man, just we're getting right into it, and we're just about ready to turn the light bulb on, and oh, it's time for the next thing. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're devoting a whole hour to this, and you're doing it over successive periods where the children have time to process then in between, mm-hmm. and think about, you know, what their next step is and maybe how they'd like to change it. Mm-hmm. Getting their little minds active and engaged. Erica, that is so critically important. And, you know, that's why we have professional teachers. There's nothing wrong with mom and dad. They're the first mm-hmm. teachers, and they're the best teachers in many mm-hmm. ways. But sometimes parents don't understand that everybody doesn't learn like they do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. they need a little help. And
absolutely.
if you're naturally artistic, I always laugh because my goddaughter started playing piano literally when she was about 2. And, you know, her mother, she's just so naturally gifted. I said, no, she's not. She has a mother who plays the piano. So she thinks playing the piano is what kids do. And, I mean, you know, yes, yeah, somewhere there may be a new Michelangelo lurking in the third grade somewhere in the Quincy Public Schools. But by and large, just being exposed to it, mm-hmm. you know, is how you decide, am I good at this? You know,
right.
you don't become an Olympic swimmer sitting on the bleachers. Mm-hmm. You have to get in the water. You don't become an artist looking at
right.
art. You have to actually do art. So that's right. part of it, isn't it?
Yes. And I also think what's really interesting is you were talking about like student engagement. Being able to tap into students' interest is really key. That is how you get them to be engaged in the opportunity and not realize that an hour's passed. And I love that the Art Center's meeting with the teachers and talking with the teachers. The teachers know their kids. They know their interests. And the program and what happens in the classroom is going to be designed around that. It's not just they're saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come in and you're going to do it this way. But she said there's a menu of things. And so the engagement's going to be high because those teachers know those kids. And through the conversation, the collaboration with the Art Center, they're going to provide an amazing opportunity to tap into those interests of the students in the classroom.
How does the use of the house system, which is where, like, you know, at Denman or at Isles mm-hmm. or at Rooney, kids from first grade all the way up to fifth grade interact across all the grade levels. They divide themselves mm-hmm. in little groups. Everybody mm-hmm. has a first grader or a second grader. You know. How is that concept also playing out in the collaboration in the third grade art world? One supports mm-hmm. the other in a way, doesn't it? Because you have to take leadership roles. You have to learn to follow mm-hmm. rules and mm-hmm. seek out different collaborations. So this will be peer-to-peer age-level collaboration, but in a way, the fact that they're already practicing that
yes.
Is, mm-hmm. is, again, reinforcing both concepts.
I think the key with collaboration, starting as young as, you know, when kids are at our preschool or ECFC, is teaching them how to collaborate. Teaching them how they have a role in collaboration and what does that look like. It's critical for our students as they, you know, go up through Quincy Public Schools that they can become collaborators. It's a critical skill, I think, in our society is to know how to collaborate with others. And so I think our teachers do a really nice job, whether it's through the house system or through this opportunity where kids will collaborate around a learning opportunity. But there definitely will be teaching opportunities for the teachers to facilitate that learning to know how collaboration should look and what's my role in this process. So that you don't have the kids that just are natural leaders dominating the situation. You have kids here that have a role too, and what does that look like?
And they all need to work together to make this project
yes.
complete.
Yes.
And that is critically important. We have to step aside, take a break, head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. When we come back, our conversation continues. The Quincy Public Schools and the Quincy Arts Center are collaborating. We'll talk about who pays for all this and a time frame. And again, they want to expand into other areas as well. It's 9:44. Stay tuned. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, a delightful discussion about a collaboration between the Quincy Public School System and the Quincy Art Center. Erica Maynard, the Director of Elementary Education at QPS, but still teaches 30 minutes every day in the classroom, so she's not just an administrator. She keeps those teaching skills great. And we also have Sandra Hite, who's a former classroom educator and now director of the Quincy Arts Center. Who pays for all of this, Sandra?
Well, when we went to discuss this collaboration with Erica and her team, they had some money set aside for this. We really do keep the price down to a bare minimum. We essentially just want to cover the materials and the time of the instructors. Mm-hmm. So it's not an expensive program, and that's the way we want to keep it, because we not only want to be successful and to enhance the education of children, but eventually we'd like to scale it. So we all have to be mindful of the costs. So it does cover the costs, and they had a little money put aside for art, and that's we get to use it.
That's fantastic, because, you know, public school budgets are so extremely tight. And we all know that if it wasn't for, like, the Friends of the Performing Arts, we mm-hmm. probably wouldn't have much of an art program in the Quincy Public mm-hmm. Schools, and yet look what our theater department does. Look at our music department. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do with the arts in Quincy is absolutely top drawer. It is a very high standard, but again, getting it down to that kindergarten through third grade level, mm-hmm. it's not as easy as it looks because you don't have a special teacher that just goes in and devotes themselves to that. You're relying on the regular third grade classroom teacher to be mm-hmm. the facilitator for this and to working companionship with a professional artist who's coming in as an artist in residence. So this collaboration, you won't know if it works, except you did kind of do something similar years ago, right? It's been a while, but mm-hmm. but there always have been guest artists that have gone in to mm-hmm. the schools because teachers could apply for a grant through Arts Quincy, for example, mm-hmm. to have a flamenco teacher come or something and do that or, mm-hmm. or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's always been an opportunity classroom by classroom, but this is a third grade district-wide Quincy Public Schools initiative.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And so it is definitely part of your curriculum, definitely tied to that literacy. Mm-hmm. How, explain to people who are struggling, like myself, how does it work? How do you teach kids to read and be fluent in English and learn new words and learn vocabulary and learn context and syntax by doing art?
Well, the way I see it is in the classroom, the teachers are going to do a very nice job of using our curriculum resources that we have that are aligned to these genres that they've mentioned and build that background knowledge and the understanding around whatever it might be, such as historical biographies. And so based on the student's interest, they'll get a deeper understanding of historical biographies and building that through literacy, which could be reading, writing, speaking, and those type of opportunities, and then to apply their learning or to enhance their understanding related to those historical biographies, that's where the Art Center comes in.
Right.
And they bring their expertise and how that might look in the classroom. Mm-hmm.
So give me a specific example. We've got this menu to choose from. Sandra, I'll just let you pick off the menu, I guess. Mm-hmm. Pick off the menu and give me an example of what might be happening in a third grade classroom.
So, for example, if it is the biographies the students will be researching, and because this is taking place over several weeks, their understanding and application of what they've learned will increase over time.
So what kind of biographies are we talking about? Famous Quincyans, famous people in the art world? What do you mean by a biography?
I don't know exactly who they study in third grade. Because,
okay, but yeah. It'll be tied to whoever you study in third grade. So, mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln, just use that as an example. So Abraham Lincoln, and you're learning all about Abraham Lincoln, and then somehow out of that will become an art project that will bring to mind Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly. It could be something two-dimensional. It could be something three-dimensional, using various media that's kind of being planned right now between the teachers and the Art Center, and they can choose some things for the children to be able to express their understanding of that person's historical relevance and contributions that they made in a visual form through an aesthetic means rather than only, as Erica said, only through writing about it. They will have already done reading and research, so it's an opportunity to express their understanding. And in many ways, it's kind of a great way for teachers to assess, you know, what they have learned and how they can express that learning in a different way, in a unique way, and in a novel way. They're not just regurgitating information that they've learned. They're actually able to express it, you know, through some medium that perhaps, again, that they, it might be the first time to explore it.
It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. How are the third grade teachers reacting to this? Is it like, oh, God, one
no.
more thing we have
no,
to do?
No, they are so excited about it, and they're excited about how the process is rolling out, where they are meeting with them and talking with them around their kids and their interests. And, you know, we've been talking about this integration between art and literacy and thinking about just like if you would use historical biographies, we're also tapping into social studies because those standards could be that.
They lived in a geographic area or maybe they were mm-hmm. a scientist.
Or they had to learn more about certain people. Like for this is not third grade, but in fourth grade we study a lot about Illinois.
Right.
And they learn all about Illinois and the history of Illinois. And so in the historical biographies, part of tapping into whatever the social studies standards are for third grade, they're going to be doing an integration across literacy, social science, mm-hmm. and art.
And even things like textiles, the clothes they wore, mm-hmm. The texture of mm-hmm. that. You know, just, mm-hmm. again, getting kids, I know that anytime you try, like, for example, science, you talked about using maybe watercolors or using paints, talking about what makes this red. What talk about pigment, talk about the light spectrum, talk about, you know, there's just really anything you do, you can take, you know, geography, social science, mm-hmm. Science, chemistry, you know, whatever. And a teacher that's good, and you have good teachers in the Quincy Public Schools, can tie all of those topics mm-hmm. together no matter what you're talking about. You can hold up a pen, mm-hmm. and the kids can talk about where the pen was made. Maybe there's a factory somewhere, and they know it was in the, you know, in Stanford, Connecticut, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's an advertising product, so we know where this company's from, and mm-hmm. we know it's made out of plastic. Where was that forged? I mean, really, it's amazing. But anything can be a teaching tool, mm-hmm. and art can be a yes. very powerful teaching tool. And Sandra, mm-hmm. your whole life really exemplifies that.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so thrilled that we have this opportunity to join with the public schools to bring those opportunities, hopefully for many years to come, so that these children do have regular art lessons with, you know, certified teachers, and that we do have, you know, you talked about the collaboration of the children creating the art, but also the collaboration of the individuals. And I think the professional development enhancement that will happen both with our staff, but also with the Quincy Public School teachers. I know when I was a teacher, you know, if someone would have said, you also have to teach PE or art or something, you know, just because I like to run did not mean I was a PE teacher. You know, so I do feel for it. I know that this year they have brand new curriculum across the board. It's very exciting, but it's also a lot of work. There's a big learning curve for the current teachers. So if we can bring something in that is our expertise and enhance their learning, and you said earlier they can be there and be present and absorb it and learn it, you know, I think it's win-win, both for the professionals mm-hmm. as well as for the children, as well as for us.
Well, Erica Maynard, we're going to end with you because, of course, this will all have to be documented, and we'll see if literacy scores go up, and we'll see if it's a success. And you know, we have to test and regulate everything. How are you going to determine? Because the day that that project's done, you're still not going to know was this mm-hmm. a success. So this is something a little bit harder to measure because yep. we're not going to be taking a test. Mm-hmm. We test too much. We teach yep. too little. Mm-hmm. So this is good. There is no test. But what's the Quincy Public School? I mean, what are you going to tell Dr. Todd Pettit? This was a success or this was a failure. What are you going to gauge that on?
I think we'll be able to gauge it on just observations of student engagement and how engaged the students are, and just asking them how they felt about the opportunity. I do think with our already embedded assessments around the literacy and the social science or whatever we're having to integrate, whatever the teachers choose off the menu, that we'll have evidence there to see if did kids master the concepts or the understanding based off of this experience. So I think we'll have multiple measures without having to do anything in addition.
They'll want to do it again. That'll be the measure of
yep.
success.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
you know, again, they may be just something three-dimensional sculpture, and they'll have to use engineering and scientific principles mm-hmm. to keep the Eiffel Tower up or whatever they, you know, whatever they're doing. Every bit of the curriculum is going to be used. These little third graders are going to have to think all this mm-hmm. out. It's mm-hmm. not just, you know, oh, I'm going to make a unicorn or whatever. It's all going to have to be thought out from an artistic point of view, what is mm-hmm. pleasing, and from a creative point of view, but I still have to mm-hmm. make it happen. So I'm very excited. Well, we'll check back and we'll see how it went. Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it. And remember, folks, please mentor in the school system in your area. Please, please do that. It is so critically important that we have adult role models that are not necessarily the classroom teacher. We can have other people who are role models as well, and hopefully you'll want to be one of them.